Hey, everybody. We've got Jay Bhakta with Base Case and Build, a community that teaches leadership lessons to empower kids to become confident and successful leaders, investors, and entrepreneurs. We dive into how they connect and work with the children and their families in order to build the next generation of leaders. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Brandon Straza, and I believe that life gives to the givers. And today, we've got Jay Bhakta of Base Case and Build to help you lead with the give. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, as opposed to waiting to the end of the show for our members, where's the best place for them to connect with you outside of the give that we'll tease at the end of the podcast?
Yes. I think the best place is, I downloaded and uploaded a bunch of my content into the Success Finder, the Knowledge Base Center. So all my stuff is there in one place, my newsletters. It's a good place to just kind of find out what we're doing and, you know, all the good stuff that's happening.
Amazing. And we're going to learn more about what Base Case and Build is, who's in there, who it serves, and what outcomes look like. So let's kick it off, man. You know, our ability to learn or availability of information has really changed over the last 2 to 3 years. In our younger years, it was textbooks and teachers, friends and family. You know, but beyond the Googles, the YouTubes, and the other search engines, how has your learning changed from your early years versus today?
Yeah, in the early years, you had to just kind of figure it out. There wasn't a place you could really go. It was like trial and error. Now you could just kind of get your answers, anything you want online, which is kind of scary because it could lead you down the wrong path. If you really don't know what it is that you are shooting for, we talk about open loops and it's easy to close them with the first thing that you read online, which is not always a good thing.
Yeah. And let's kind of dive into that open loops, because from some listeners, that might be a new concept to them, but what would you consider, what is an open loop? And then I want to get back to, like, where is it that you're learning? Who are you learning from? And how is it that you're, cutting out that noise? But I want to stick on that open loops piece right there. What does that mean to you? And what would that mean possibly to the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of outside noise out there, and you hear so many different things from everywhere, especially social media and your friends, family. But what's the right answer? What's the right path? And usually what you end up doing is you go and research it online to close that loop, because you just learned something new. You're trying to understand it. You don't quite understand it. And what's the quickest place I could get an answer? And the first thing that you read becomes your answer, and it might not be the right one. So then, instead of keeping that loop open and researching and being open to new ideas and being receptive, you close it really quickly. And that's sometimes you kind of don't get the, you don't get the answer that you should have gotten, or that could have actually helped you more, been more beneficial for you.
Yeah. And you mentioned something there, getting the right answer or the wrong answer. And sometimes there isn't a right and wrong. We try to differentiate and have that polarity between this is right, this is wrong, when we could also look at, like, this serves and this doesn't serve based off of the information that's currently in front of us. If we're using outdated information from 3, 6, 9, even a week ago, it's not always about right and wrong. It's what serves the next one or two things that need to happen to be able to progress that sometimes. And I think too often we're looking to validate, make ourselves feel right, and also validate and say, I knew I was wrong in this instance. But where is it right now that you're really learning, and how are you, what are you doing through that process to cut that noise out?
My main thing is just slowing down and allowing for time and randomness, because usually the first thought or idea that comes to your mind, you get excited about and you take quick action on it. And usually it's not the right path. So it's good to microstep into things and allow for some time and randomness to make adjustments and course correct. But when you when you don't allow for that and you just set yourself a path and a roadmap, you kind of, you know, don't see all the possibilities that could, you know, be better, that could lead you in a better path.
Yeah. Time and randomness. Isn't that an interesting concept right there? Allowing, you know, to sit in that seat of receivership and allow those things to reveal themselves. I get it. It's not a concept that I think that, you know, we just run and we gravitate to, but when we actually allow that to take place, we can slow down. We can take a step back and we can almost, you know, if you remember, you know, the movies where it's the I'll call it the Matrix movie or whatever, where that punch is coming and the person is able to slowly move on something that's moving at a much faster pace because of the fact that they're sitting, you know, in that seat of receivership or slowing down. And maybe that wasn't the best analogy to utilize the Matrix right there, but that's really what I saw is like, here comes the world coming at you. Here comes the difficulties and the challenges. And you're just able to kind of look aside and read that roadmap as it's happening and say, this is my entry point. This is where I'm going to enter right there. You know, as an entrepreneur, it's easy to lose our footing, you know, lose our confidence and second guess the decisions that we're making along the way. How have you developed a winning mindset and what are some of the techniques or practices that you use to overcome self-doubt or limiting beliefs?
Yeah, I mean, the principles and frameworks that you learn, it's one thing to learn it, but to actually slow down and apply it's a whole different ballgame. You know, it's so easy when you hear something, you get excited about it, you FOMO into things, and you jump in right into things you just throw all your principles and frameworks out the door. But when you slow down and allow to analyze and, you know, compile the data that you need and put it into the right frameworks, then you realize that this stuff works, you know?
Yeah. When you talk about slowing down, what is it that you're doing? Because I get it. Like, in words and in theory, it all sounds great. Like, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to slow down and I'm going to allow that punch to come by while I read the graph on here. But what is it that you do it might not be a business practice. It might just be a self-habit or something that you're doing to overcome when those difficult times, what are the techniques that you're using beyond just slowing down so the listeners can sit there and say, this is something I could implement right there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I'll give you some examples. When I have a whole bunch of different ideas and paths to take, and I don't know which one to take, you know, Dr. Jeff Spencer talks about the soft offense. And, you know, it's so easy to think you got the right, you know, the path is the right one, but you know, you like, so you jump into it because at the moment it sounds right. But if you actually play the soft offense and put, you know, pressure and, you know, push all these ideas a little bit, and you realize some of these are going to fall off the path, and then the right thing will come forward if you allow it to. And that's playing soft offense is a form of slowing down. Also, the four lenses from Rigging the Game, you know, from Dan Nicholson's book, I put that through the test too. So if I have something, a business idea or investment that I want to make, I'm like, well, let me put it through the test. Does it meet the four lenses? If it doesn't, how can I change this or adjust it so that it does meet three out of the four lenses for me to move forward and feel confident about it? You know,
is three of the four. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what those lenses are, if you wouldn't mind sharing with it, but is three out of the four, is that your criteria? It's got to meet three. It's not all four out of four.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you make a decision that's asymmetric to the upside?
Okay.
Right? How do you make a winning decision? How do some people always win and some people seem to always make the wrong decisions? Well, you know, there's some people kind of just wing it, right? But if you actually follow the frameworks and slow down and apply it, for example, the four lenses, and you have the time savings, is it gonna be a time beneficial for you? You know, is there cost savings involved? Is revenue generating? And is it a forcing function? So I won't dig too deep into those three, but the rule is if three out of those four lenses are met, then it's asymmetric to the upside, because now you are gonna win regardless. So if, for example, if you have a a business plan that's, or an investment or task that you want to do that's going to save you time, it's going to reduce your cost, and it's a forcing function, something that you're going to do anyways. So what if it doesn't generate the revenue, right? You just saved yourself a lot of time, you reduced your cost, and you were going to do it anyways, right? So then that's a winning decision, so you move forward. But if it doesn't, and if it doesn't meet though at least three out of the four, then you need to reevaluate or make some adjustments so it does.
Have you ever seen, and let me ask, if you actually go through those steps individually or as time has gone on where you've been able to compress that to where you're not literally asking yourself, but it's happening in real time, if that makes sense. So you're not like, okay, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, asymmetric to the upside, so on and so forth. Do you ever find, because you've done it for so long, that you're able to compress that and make that decision without literally going through those four lenses?
At this point, no, because each step requires a lot of data, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just think that, oh yeah, this is going to make a lot of money. Well, where's the data to prove it, right? So in your mind, you think it's going to make a lot of money, but if you haven't actually analyzed and compiled the data, then you might, you know, you're just kind of guessing. So each one of the four lenses requires for you to actually sit through and sit down and, you know, get some compile and analyze data for it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And just, it's not fast forwarding. It's not taking that remote and being like, whoop, you know, here it is, because I've seen this 1,000 times. And then the reality is each time is able to be different than the next one. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, being able to remain nimble and being able to adapt quickly is key to success, really. You know, what are the tools you use to work through change, uncertainty, or disruption as it's happening in real time? And I get that we use the four lenses kind of right there, but is there anything else that you're utilizing currently when you see uncertainty appearing, you know, in real time? You don't have the ability to, you know, run through those steps every single time. What are you using to adapt?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you feel like there's some pressure or something's happening that's out of your control, you just pause. Take a step back and then just let think a little bit deeper, you know, because the thing is your first reaction is usually the wrong one, right? Because if you feel like something's out of your control and you're like, oh, I need to take care of this or react to this right away, there could have possibly even been a better path that you didn't even think about because you didn't allow it to. So, anytime I feel that way, I just step back and pause and say, okay, yes, there's a situation here. Let's not jump in and try to solve this right away. Let's find out what's the best path.
That's interesting. I think sometimes we think, oh, let's go with that gut reaction. Let's go with that initial thought. And it's not that it's right or wrong again, but taking a step back. I love how you just sat there. You're like, yeah, no, it's happening in real time. You know, you kind of almost like you put the Heisman right there on me and you're like, I'm going to pause regardless. No one is going to force me into a function. No one's going to force me into a decision on their timetable.
Yeah.
You know, too often we have people that they poke in and it's about their timetable when they need something. And it's like, hey, this data was just brought to me. I'm going to go through my steps. And almost at the end of the day, I would believe that the other individual would have a higher regard and higher respect for the fact that you're like, I'm good here. Let me go through this process.
Yeah. I mean, I think zooming out really helps. Like, I mean, because you're right now, you're just like looking at this small situation task and you're making it big and it consumed your entire world. Right. But when you zoom out, you just realize it's just as a small piece to the puzzle and you're letting that affect you in a bigger way, which you don't need to. So zooming out really does help.
Have you ever seen where a shiny object comes along and everybody's FOMOing into it? Fear of missing out, for anyone that doesn't know the term FOMO, fear of missing out. Have you ever seen where just hordes of people are just hopping on something and because it's super shiny, it's super new. It could be AI, it could be crypto, it could be anything you could think out there.
Yeah, that's the story of my life. I mean, you could just take the last 30 something 40 years of my life, and you could, you know, that's much what it was. until I learned to slow down. So, you know, it's just so easy because you always hear like, hey, this person was successful doing this. So this person made 100x on this, you know, crypto project, and you want a piece of the pie too. And you feel like you're left behind. So then you kind of just jump in like, oh, I just got to jump in and do something, or, you know, I'm going to make 100x. And in most cases, those people get wrecked. Right.
Mm.
So.
Mm. That's, I love it. I love it. Thanks for sharing that with us. The reality of it is like, hey, listen, you weren't born with this. You were born with who you are. The DNA strands are there, but you grow into, and you can take that operating, the OS system, the operating system, and you can tool it. You can tweak it in there to sit there and remove that FOMO, remove that shiny object syndrome in order to be where you're at and where you want to go with the fewest amount of bumps along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I got to credit Dr. Jess Spencer for sure on that. You know, I mean, with him coaching me kind of helped me kind of see that. I mean, I was like, I remember the first meeting I had with him, I was like, hey, I need to work on this, you know, I had like a whole list of things. And then he's just like, okay, let's start with the first. And then, you know, and we kind of micro step our way into it. And that just became a habit. I mean, just seeing how we handled things, how we tackled issues, situations, and it just naturally became something that became a habit for me. So, you know, once you start experiencing and you start seeing the benefits and you start realizing that when you move slow, you're actually going to move faster than you ever thought was possible.
Mm. I can't remember who said this. Slower than you want, faster than anyone thinks is possible.
Yep.
So whoever should be credited for that, I'm crediting because I just don't know, but I've heard the statement on there. You know, typically when someone invests in their future, they have a better than vague idea of what they're going to get. We're able to have some form of expectation of the type of people that are going to be in the room and what the outcome could be. What should people expect when they enter your reality with Base Case and Build?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's a something that's really necessary that, you know, we look back and most adults will look back and like, I wish I would have done some things differently, right? When you start having conversations about what we do in Base Case and Build and what we teach the kids, that's usually the first reaction that people start and, you know, get, and they start thinking about, man, this is so cool. I wish I could have learned all this stuff when I was younger, you know? And that's the premise of why I built this program is, you know, learning all this stuff from Nick Peterson and Dr. Jess Spencer. It really got me thinking about, wow, I know I wouldn't have made that decision if I would have known this, or I could have saved myself so much heartache if I would have just known this sooner. And when I start talking about what we teach in Base Case and Build and how the kids get to apply it at such a young age, you know, it's definitely something that the parents are like, first thought is, this is awesome, right? I mean, this is something I wish I had known.
And what is it? I mean, like, give us a little bit. I love the broad strokes that we have right there. But for the parents and then for the children, what is it that you're teaching, whether it's weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, what is it that you're teaching these lessons, not lifestyles, but these tactics in order to build strong children? What's inside of Base Case and Build that they can expect?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately what we want to do is have them create strategies and habits that's going to lead them to becoming the top 1% of the wealthy, right? But Base Case and Build, if you look at the name, you have the base case, which is the foundational stuff, which is understanding your own presence and what's going on around you. You know, Dr. Jess Spencer, he's known as a corner man, and, you know, he always talks about playing chess with life instead of checkers. I mean, the guy can see around the corner, but you can't do that unless you have self-awareness. And, you know, we teach a lot of things like empathy, being a good teammate, playing your game, closer over more, all these concepts create a foundation, creates that base case that you could build off and become leaders. You can't become a good leader if you're not empathetic, if you don't have these type of skills, if you're not receptive. All these things build on each other to get you to become a leader, right? And now, once you're a leader, we teach them how to navigate that world as a true leader in whatever industry that they go into or path they take, right? It could be, it doesn't even have to be business. It could be a corporate world. It could be even within your own house, right? With your family members and your friends. So, you know, we got the self-mastery, which is the self-awareness. We have the leadership. And ultimately, we're like, hey, take the steps, next steps into becoming, you know, financially literate and free from, you know, any kind of stress or, you know, anxiety about, you know, about what's going to happen or what's going to happen with the economy, because you're going to be there to tackle it before it happens.
So you're teaching what I understand is tactics, actionable items, real life instances that we probably don't learn until our 20s, but really our 30s and 40s and so on. You're doing this in the younger generation.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you go back and look at coming out of high school or even in college, most of us really didn't have that right network to be around. I mean, we didn't have that network, or we didn't have that guidance and support. There was just a path that we had to follow: finish your school, get your college degree, and get a job, right? You know, these kids get to think a little bit different. They could think outside the box, think outside what the traditional education system teaches you, right? Because in my opinion, the traditional education, and it's great that what they learn, I think all that stuff is important, but it's more like an assembly line, right? If the path is already set for you, you're working your way towards a 9-to-5 job, all the creativity is kind of taken out of you, because I mean, how easy is it for teachers to manage that when you have 40 new kids every hour coming in and you have one kid that's thinking differently? They have to keep them inside this box, right? They got to keep this and keep kids in this path, otherwise the teachers won't make it through the day, right? But what we do in Base Case and Bill is we open up a whole realm of different ways of thinking and ideas and possibilities that kids aren't aware of at a young age.
Wow. So, I mean, it's taking their creativity before we've tried to kick it out of them.
Yes.
And then implementing what is coming, but allowing them to not sit there and live in a place of fear, but sit in there in a place of acceptance and understanding, like, they can see this railroad going by as it's happening. But we're talking, what are the ages that you have had go through Base Case and Build?
Yeah, we have kids ages 9 through 18. You know, and some of the older kids are still in the program as they, you know, get past 18, because they're always learning something new every day. So, yeah, I mean, and the concepts apply to all the kids, regardless of their age. You know, it's surprising. At first, I was like, you know, will a 10-year-old really need this? And then, you know, looking at my daughter, who's 11 now, and putting her in the program, I was like, yeah, they absolutely need this at a young age, because it becomes a habit. And as they get older, it's ingrained in them. It's a toolbox that they have that'll carry them into their later years.
Wow. That's something that when I was growing up, I could have used. Now, I'm not faulting anything in the era that I grew up in, but, you know, I sat there, and whether it was like just listening to the conversations being had, scrubbing clubs and listening to the businessmen and women around me, whatever it was, that's where I was getting my education from. But you've taken what's actually happening right now and brought it to them at their level. And it's not that you're speaking at their level. You're speaking to them as if they have the concepts and it's everything that's around them right now. You're lifting them up is what it sounds like.
Absolutely. I mean, you never want to, it's crazy what kids can pick up and what they actually take in and they can apply. So, you know, I've noticed, I think in the beginning when we first started, I've been doing this for a couple of years now. I might've started like talking down, like, hey, maybe are they going to be able to comprehend it? And, I realized, wow, they could actually take all this stuff and apply it, you know, at a young age. There's no need to talk, you know, down. You got to elevate all the kids because they could handle it.
Yeah, you speak to the conversation. I know that we've done that with our son in our house, is speak to the conversation and then allow them to be curious to ask the questions. And here's the interesting thing: when we speak at whatever level that we're at, they'll ask us a question that we realize that we might not have been very clear ourselves in how we were presenting it or how we were coming at it from, because they're seeing it not just with fresh eyes. They're seeing it with clean vibrancy that they don't have, like, is this right? Is this wrong? Do I win? Do I lose? This is just like, you're going to have this conversation with me. If they gravitate towards it, they're going to have a fresh set of eyes, unlike any other, to bounce this off of. And I love that, and how I can say, yes, I do have a vested interest because my son has been and is in Base Case and Build. So I'm not going to hide that fact on there whatsoever. But the conversations when he was thoroughly involved with it and with sports and, you know, the season, you know, he had to take a little bit of a backseat. But I can tell you our conversations were richer. They were more fulfilling. And we communicated as a family, and I can say we still communicate as a family better today because of the aspect of Base Case and Build. So I do want to throw that one out there that yes, our son has and still is involved with Base Case and Build. But you know, there's always new ideas brewing in times of prosperity. But I believe creativity and ingenuity comes out of times where we feel the squeeze. What are you working on right now that will take place over the next 12 months that excites you?
I think that's the structure of the program. We've made so many adjustments along the way. You know, one of the things Nick Peterson had told me and talked to me about was don't create a roadmap, because, you know, what you're thinking is going to be the end goal or sight is going to be different from what it actually is going to be in reality. And since I allowed for that space to, you know, make adjustments along the way, the program is just getting better and better. So what I'm excited about, we create the foundational course to start every single kid that comes into the program, and that gets them off and running on the right track. And then they jump into the self-mastery and leadership lessons. So every kid is in the right place. You know, we have all these professional leaders. A lot of them are in Success Finder, and they've seen what we offered in Base Case and Build, and they reached out to me, like Scott Perry, Nick Dock, Shanti, you know, all these people. They want to do professional workshops for the kids. So it's just an added bonus of people, experts in their fields are coming in and giving a little more knowledge to the kids. That I think is necessary, which is cool, just different perspectives. So I just love seeing the community coming together and working together to provide all this stuff to the kids. It's just some really cool stuff happening.
It's almost as if they're leading with the give.
Yes.
Unintended, whatever it looks like. You know, I listened to some episodes from a podcast I did eons ago, or at least that's what it seems like right now. And throughout it was constantly peppered what I heard. And so, you know, it's been sitting there where the leader was talking about giving this and giving this. And I'm like, holy crud, the podcast that we have now, The Give, presented by the Success Finder, it's been sitting there the whole time. And surrounding yourself with those people, it's life-changing. It really doesn't just change it for you, but it's those that are in your household, those that are around you. And that's why I love what you're doing over at Base Case and Build. We're getting ready to come to the end. We've got a few more questions here. You know, I've always believed in leading with the give mentality. It's the principle on which I've based every company, partnership, and unquestionably, it's the name of the podcast, The Give. We ask every guest on the podcast to share a little sneak peek of what their give will be for our listeners placed over at TSF. Jay, what have you brought today to give to the listeners that we're going to place over for your give?
Yeah, so one of the biggest concern parents have is, are their kids going to be financially stable when they grow up? Are they going to be financially competent and literate? You know, we all know that in school, they don't teach any of this. What I did is I compiled a step-by-step guide to help parents start conversations with their kids, not just start the conversations, but guide them through the entire process where they could actually take action and start becoming financial, you know, competent. So It's a pretty thorough guide that's, you know, regardless of the age of the kids, we get, you know, I've broken it down on different ages. So you have, you know, younger kids, a little bit older, we got young adults. So you could actually start conversations, which is the key. I mean, all parents want to have a connection with their kids. Just how to start it is a challenge sometimes. But this guide actually walks you through it where you could actually start and not even just start, but follow through and get your kids to start taking action.
Ah, I love it. I love it. We've got Jay Bhakta with Base Case and Build. Jay, thank you for everything that you brought to the Give presented by TSF today, and look forward to seeing your episode air and what's next for you and the kids over at BCNB, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. I appreciate everything that you do, man.
Absolutely.